This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN in our weekend theater segment. Just about every theater in Chicago right now has their holiday productions up and running right now. You can't walk down the theater district without tripping over seven or eight different productions of A Christmas Carol or Nutcracker Suite that's going on. So, which is great, but it's nice that there are some alternatives. And the Harry Potter music that you're hearing playing in the background here, reminding you that a show which has been here in Chicago in the past has returned, Potted Potter, the unauthorized Harry Potter experience. James Percy plays Harry Potter in the film, in the production, and Joe Maudsley plays everybody else that you've seen and enjoyed in the Harry Potter movies. Guys, welcome back. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Let's just start off explaining what Potted Potter is. It's a really clever concept.
Well, thank you. It is all seven Harry Potter books in 70 minutes with just the two of us.
Yeah, where James plays Harry Potter.
Yeah, and Joe plays everybody else.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair to me.
Unfair.
No, but I've got the better agent. That's how that works.
Well,
but Joe's got the better legs. You know, it's give and take.
Sometimes you get what you can get in life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you take what you can get. How did this concept even start? It's a very clever idea.
Yeah, it was two guys, Dan and Jeff, Dan Clarkson and Jefferson Turner, wrote it for the launch of the sixth book. They were entertaining the crowds that were queuing up for the midnight launch of the sixth book, and it was just a little five minute sketch, a little 5 minute street theatre sketch,
a little street yeah. theatre for the people on the street to make a little extra cash.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, and then people stopped queuing up for the books and turned around and started watching this little sketch, and I think that's when they suddenly went, oh, I think we've got something here that people enjoy watching.
Yeah. I think a little production called Cirque du Soleil started very similar.
Oh, wow.
With just as street performers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was so unique and so different that they staged the show. And now, you know, they pretty much killed Ringling Brothers and, you know, put them out of business. And are the force that that they are right now. And, you know, this sounds like a similar kind of beginning. So how do you stage all of this? How does it work when somebody, where you begin the first book, I imagine, the beginning?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we go through all the books in order, and we tell each of them a little differently in a sort of in a different medium, so to speak. We won't give too much away, but there is a live game of Quidditch in the show, which is particularly one of my highlights. I mean, I think we're the only place in the world where you can go to a theatre and see and partake in a live game of Quidditch.
Yeah, you'll have to explain to me how this is done. It's the Broadway Playhouse.
Yeah.
That's at Water Tower Place. Quidditch, as you know, if you've read the books or seen the movies, is a rather large experience.
That it is.
Might
yeah.
be better suited for Soldier Field than.
We should do that. We should definitely do. I'd love to get it down on Soldier Field.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bear season's pretty much over. So.
Yeah.
Oh, too soon.
And Chicago is sporty. You're a sporty town.
We are a very sporty town. People would flock. You get 70,000 people.
Well,
there.
You should see when we play Quidditch in the theater, you see the dads really start to kind of take note, sit up in their seats and go, oh, we're playing sports all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And your children are vicious here. They are. People are flying around everywhere.
No, would it spoil anything? I mean, if you explained how you did this?
No, I mean, the audience are heavily involved. So when we say that, you know, the whole audience get involved in playing Quidditch, they really do. It's very much for the whole show, really, the audience are the third player in this piece. Mm. You know, we destroy that fourth wall straight away.
Yeah.
And from the get-go, the entire audience are part of the experience. And when it comes to Quidditch,
we split the audience into two teams. We've got a quaffle and we've got a couple of goals that they need to get it through, and it's all very interactive. I let it play as long as we want. We sort of feel it. If the audience is having a great time, that game will go on forever. It's brilliant. But that's the good thing about dropping that fourth wall. It's like we've got the freedom and the flexibility to work with the audience.
Yeah.
So if anything happens in the audience or any reactions or anything at all, we can go along with it. We can interact with it, and it makes it a really nice, unique show.
Well, and that with being in Chicago in particular, I mean, we've toured this show all over the world, and Chicago is without a doubt one of our favourite cities to perform the show in. It sits so well here. Because the comedy and improv culture of Chicago just completely lends itself to the type of show that we do. So that as soon as we get started, the audience seem to clock into what we're doing straight away.
They're in to play and to have some fun with.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
In what cities are they least responsive?
I suppose it's like a different sort of audience. So we've just come from 3 months in Vegas. And that's like a different audience, because here in Chicago, people are coming to the theatre. Yeah. They're coming to watch the Harry Potter show, loving it, great, amazing. Vegas, they're some people are like having a break from gambling and drinking.
So they're there anyway.
And then it's a mix of having the really big fans in Vegas with the people that have just poked their heads in. So it's like a strange dynamic where you'll get like lots of pockets of laughter,
right.
Whereas in Chicago, everyone's loving it, everyone's having a great time.
Right, so in other words, you hate Vegas as well.
Nah, it's lovely. It's great.
Vegas audiences are the worst audiences in the world, if I'm interpreting correctly.
Put it in print.
What you say.
No, they're great. We loved it there. We were there for 3 months. The show's just been extended there. It's the first time they've had a show on the Strip. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I'm a huge Elvis geek, so for me to go and play Vegas was like mind-blowing.
Right.
Yeah.
So like coming to the mothership.
Yeah, right.
Of Elvis tackiness.
Exactly.
But also, I mean, you must have hung out at the Elvis chapels and
checked it all out.
Right? Yeah.
I got to go and see the Westgate Hotel, which was the old International, which was where he
played.
Had his residency, and I think I actually cried. The lady took me on a tour around the Elvis's dressing room, and
wow,
oh.
Isn't that funny? And the reason I say that is many years ago, I was working for the ABC Radio Network. They sent me to Memphis to do a documentary on Elvis. It was the anniversary of probably his death or birth, one of the two.
Yeah.
But they wanted a documentary, and I said, you know, I'm not really the biggest Elvis fan, probably, so it'd be a better assignment for somebody else. And they insisted that I do it. And I went so begrudgingly and reluctantly. I just did not want to do this project. At the end of a couple of days of doing interviews and talking with the people at Graceland and other Elvis places, I was standing in the garden where Elvis is laid to rest.
Yeah.
Literally in tears.
Oh, wow.
I was so moved by the whole Elvis experience, it completely turned me around.
Wow.
So I can understand why you would, when you say that you were
I'm
in
glad
tears.
You had that experience.
It was a very interesting and life-changing Elvis experience.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah. But back to your show, never mind Elvis and the audiences in Las Vegas that you hate. How do you even begin to compress so much material into a 70-minute show?
Well, it's very fast-paced, isn't it? It's a white-knuckle roller coaster ride. It really is.
Yeah, it's the highlights of each book being thrown in there. And the sort of concept of the show is that James is the massive Harry Potter fan, knows everything about it. He's telling the story of all the 7 books in 70 minutes. And he's got along his mate Joe to help him do it, who tries really hard.
Yeah.
But it was probably the worst decision I ever made.
it's just really, really fast paced, and just picking out all the highlights from each book, and then lots of random things in there for like the really deep Harry Potter nerds in there to be like, yeah, I recognise that bit.
Yeah.
There's only a select few that will get that quote.
Yeah.
And also people that haven't seen any of them at all, they're leaving the show going, that is great, and now I don't have to read the books. I'm an expert for watching 70
minutes. It is the ultimate
done.
Cliff Notes, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
The ultimate Cliff Notes. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about Potted Potter. That is at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower for 6 weeks. It'll play there through January the 19th. Have the Warner Brothers lawyers been in touch with you guys?
I think we just keep running away to different places.
Well, as long as you move faster than they do, that seems to work out.
We just don't leave a forwarding address.
I was wondering how you guys got away with it, or you know, being able to use the Harry Potter content.
I think really, I think it's that if, you know, any of them were to come and see it, they would see that it's a show that's done from love. It's definitely not, you know, two people making fun or poking fun of the Harry Potter series. It shines through that we are, you know, fans of the series, and it's a tribute, really.
Yeah.
And it's great because, you know, when you get the big Harry Potter fans coming to the theatre, it really feels like a meeting of minds.
It's got to be like a Star Trek convention or Star Wars convention.
Yeah, there is elements
where fans
of that.
Are
which is great because we'll come out and, you know, we'll stand on stage and it looks like we're performing in the Great Hall because everybody's dressed as wizards. It's fantastic.
Have the actors come to see the show? J.K. Rowling?
Well,
come to see
Joe this? And I were very fortunate. We did get to meet Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And we had a chat with him, and he knew all about the show. He said that he hadn't seen it because it was probably not a good idea for him to come there.
He would get mobbed.
Nobody would even notice. Everybody, I imagine everybody comes dressed as him.
True. So if he came in full costume, he might get away
nobody
with
would,
it.
They would think it's some guy that, you know, who's dressed up like Harry Potter.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to be able to hear a little of the show. Give our listeners a little bit of a sample.
I reckon we could do book one in about 1:47.
I reckon book in one. About 1:47.
Yeah.
All these people that wasted their time reading the whole book. Get it all done in about a minute or so. Really? It's a Potted Potter. It's at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower through January the 19th. James Percy is Harry Potter and Joe Maudsley as everybody else. Take it away, guys.
Perfect. Book number one, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Start the book.
Once upon a time, there was a boy called Harry Potter.
Hi, I'm Harry Potter.
He was 11.
Hi, I'm Harry Potter.
He lived under the stairs.
I live under the stairs.
Now, it turned out he was a wizard. Woo. So they gave him a wand.
Thank you.
And an owl called Hedwig. Twit, twit.
Oh, a message.
Now, to be a fully fledged wizard, you had to go to the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. Of course, the only way to get to the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry was to go to King's Cross Station, platform 9 3/4, or run straight through the wall.
What?
Run straight through you're not running through the wall, James.
Not as stupid as you. Give me the book. Now, when Harry got to Hogwarts, he made some very good friends, the first of which was a young boy called Ron Weasley.
All right, I is Ron Weasley. I is sick. Blah. Oh. I is lit. I is wicked, for here am I, defying gravity.
That's not...
Ah, it's a ginger ninja. It's me, Joe. I'm in a wig.
Yes, Joe, I can tell. He made another good friend, a young lady by the name of Hermione Granger.
Hello, I'm Hermione Granger.
Who was also 11.
I know.
You didn't know many girls when you were 11, did you, Joe?
I don't know many girls now, to be honest, James.
Yeah, it makes quite a lot of sense, actually. Now, unfortunately, as well as friends, Harry also made some enemies, the first of which was a teacher by the name of Professor Snape.
I hate you!
Oh, he made another enemy, a young boy called Draco Malfoy.
I hate you as well!
No, Joe, look, we've only just started and already you really hurt me. Here, take that, take those, I'll take that. I'll be the bad guy for once. Oh, yeah, I'm Draco Malfoy. I'm evil. I like to go around hitting people, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like you very much either.
Now, straight to the crux of the book, the Sorcerer's Stone. The Sorcerer's Stone in question is something which the evil Lord Voldemort...
Whoa, you just said Voldemort. I've just said Voldemort. I've said it again, shut up!
Thanks for your input. Something which the evil Lord Unmentionable needs to regain his evil powers.
It is I, the evil Lord Voldemort.
Yeah, you said your own name.
Of course I said my own name, you stupid little man. How else would I get my evil soy latte from Starbucks?
That's a very good point.
Now I must get to the Sorcerer's Stone before Harry Potter. Here is the Sorcerer's Stone. Here is Harry Potter.
Ha-ha, I got it before you.
No, Harry Potter is defeated me for the first time.
End of book one.
I love that. That is so fantastic.
Thank you.
Is so great. Potted Potter is what it's called. The unauthorized Harry Potter experience at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower, 175 East Chestnut. It's playing here through January the 19th. You want to get tickets, you can go to the box office. You can get tickets at the Broadway in Chicago. Ticket line 800-775-2000. Or go to BroadwayInChicago.com. Guys, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
a real pleasure. James Percy, Joe Maudsley. Happy holidays to you both.
Happy holidays to you.
Nice to see you again.